If you turn to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to spend the next 6 weeks or so in the book of Proverbs, kind of working our way through on some of the important things that Solomon wrote about concerning what it means to be in a relationship with the Lord. We're going to talk about the fear of the Lord, what it means to fear God, and kind of maybe hopefully clarify some misconceptions about that. And I think it's important, too, to talk about what it means to guard the heart, especially in today's age. And things that the Lord gives us, and insight, so to speak, on the things he wants his kids to do. So we're in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 7 verses. So the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their listening or their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Would you please, Lord, open up our hearts to your word, and would you please teach us? We want to learn. You are such a good teacher, Lord, that we'd be aware, that we'd listen to your voice. Father, we'd be attentive, Lord, to what you are telling us as you, Lord, continue to strengthen our foundation, as you continue to help us build upon the foundation of Christ, Lord. I pray that you would just fill this place with your presence and fill our hearts, Lord, with your knowledge. And we look forward, Lord, to what you're going to say today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're gonna look at Proverbs a little bit. This morning, it's all about getting wisdom, which is something I think we all really desperately struggle with. Thank you for the birthday song. Please don't ever do that again. I went out to eat last night with good friends, you know, and so there we are, and there's a table next door, or a couple tables down, they brought out a candle, and it's sparkling, all this kind of stuff, you know, after burn. I said, if you do that, friendship's over. So wisely, they didn't, but thank you for that. You know, God is good. If you think about life and the meaning of life and what God, I just think back upon all those years. And I thought about when the Lord drew me into his kingdom, and I think about how he has changed all of us. Isn't that great? You think about it. And here we are, Lord, and we're living life, and there's so much uncertainty, that we sure have one who is sure and true and faithful to us, and that's God himself. So we look at, and he writes to us all the time, like I said. He wants us to understand. He wants us to gain wisdom. He wants us to gain knowledge and understanding. He is just constantly working along those lines. And really, it's up to us whether or not we want to open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, and whether or not we want to welcome what he has to say to us. And not only that, in how he speaks to us through his word, then he gives us everything we need for life and godliness, fills us with his spirit, he empowers us, because he wants us to live a good life. He wants us to live well, because not only does it honor him, but it's good for us, because it spares us from the consequences of living poorly. And God doesn't want us to suffer those consequences. There are so many of us that do. And we learn, you know, that's that progressive sanctification thing. And the Lord, and we make mistakes and we do dumb things. And sometimes we just don't want to listen to him. And we find ourselves just embracing what we shouldn't be embracing, or the, you know, the things of the world or whatever it might be. And then the Lord just gently brings us back. Sometimes he has to use a 2x4, I understand, you know. But what he does is he wants to spare us of the consequences. And it's a matter of whether or not we want to be spared from the consequences. So here you have this man, Solomon. And Solomon, we understand who he is. He was David's son. Solomon was conceived out of sin. You know, his coming about wasn't the most noble thing in the world, because his father, this man who had a heart for God, David, really messed up. And so, and he lost his first child with Bathsheba, because that was part of, you know, what was going on. But then his second child, Solomon, was born. And here was a man who was destined for greatness, glory. And when he inherited the kingdom, he inherited the zenith of the power of Israel. After that, it went downhill because of the sin of the kings. But he inherits this kingdom that was like a superpower. He was born with a golden spoon in his mouth. He was raised in you know, royalty, opulence, you name it. This was a man, Solomon, had everything. He was doted upon, and he's the one that God handpicked to lead Israel after David's death. So he has everything. He couldn't ask for anything more. And not only that, the Lord said, you will always live in peace. So he didn't even have to worry about warfare because of his father David. And he even had the privilege of being able to converse with God and hear God's voice. This man had everything. And in all that, when he realized what he had been given, one of the things that he realized he didn't have was the was discernment. He looked at the responsibilities that God had given him. And he looked about and he said, there's one thing I know that I'm missing in my heart of hearts, and that's wisdom. And I desperately want it because I want to be responsible with what God has given me. So what he does is he prayed for it. And it says here in 1 Kings 3, and I'll just read it. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, or the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I'll do what you have asked. I'll give you a wise and discerning heart so that it will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. And so God blessed him with all this wisdom and understanding. And can you imagine if we had that kind of wisdom and understanding, some of the pain and suffering that it would have spared us over the years? You know? And so what I want to do is kind of open up a little bit about what he asked for and what the purpose of Proverbs is. And really, it's to give us wisdom and discernment. Unfortunately, so here he is and he asked God. Not only that, God gave him the ability to write well. He just was just a phenomenal individual, and he wrote down the wisdom that God gave him because he wanted to impart that wisdom for future generations, for the children of God. And so that's what he did. Unfortunately, he didn't finish well. And that I'll never get. I just don't quite understand that he didn't finish well. And it scares me a little bit because we need to be careful that we finish well, especially as we get older. I mean, I realize as I get older, and how many years, I mean, I don't know how many years the Lord has for me. My days are preordained, you know, and all those kind of things. I don't really worry about it. I mean, I just want to go home at some point. And I think a lot about it, you know, about the fact that this is such a transitional life and that the Lord has so much more in store for me. But one of the things that God has instilled in me was the necessity of finishing well. And here you have Solomon, he didn't do it. All this wisdom, which tells me that you can have it and then lose it. And we've got to be careful. And so he didn't finish well. He ended in sin. And, you know, you can say a lot of different things. He had so many different wives. They were in, and syncretism came in because they all were worshiping different idols. And finally, he just started to accept all that, and he brought all those idols into the worship of God. And he even accepted sacrificing children to Molech and on and on. And I mean, this guy went from here down to the pit. And as a result, the kingdom was divided in two because of his sin, and Israel was never the same after that. So you think about our lives, and you think about God, and this is what he does. He handpicks us. He puts his hand on our hearts. He draws us into a relationship with him. And not only that, he indwells us with his Spirit. And he gives us what we need to live life well. Who among us deserves that? And we have this from God. And God does this to us individually in such an intimate way. And what he does is he brings us and he ushers us into this realm of existence with him, into the kingdom of God. And we've been given so much because of that. And he says, now, my children, listen, I've given you my word. I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. Now it's up to you whether or not you want to implement that, whether or not you want to embrace that, whether or not you want me to come in into your life in ways that will truly not only bless you, but allow you to live a life that is just full of the joy of knowing me and the joy of glorifying me. And that's what he gives us. And then I see so many tragedies, so many tragic things happening in believers' lives because what they choose to do is stumble about off the path of righteousness. And what they do when they stumble off the path of righteousness into whatever path they feel like they need to go, all they do is bring in tragedy and brokenness and things that God never intended for his children. And what really gets me on top of all that is that then they get angry with God and blame God for all these things. And meanwhile, God is saying, well, you know, God has broad shoulders. Praise God for that, you know. But yet what he does is this, is he responds out of grace and mercy and love to draw his child back onto his path and to restore their lives, hopefully then to finish out their years much better perhaps than when they started to stumble and fall from the Lord. And so here he is. So I just want to read point one. It says that God wants his blood-bought children to attain his wisdom. It is his will that we seek it with all our hearts so that we may gain discipline, understanding, and insight into living well for him here on earth. And that's his will. And it just says, and I'll read once again the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. And this is what he wants to do. He wants us to attain all these things and to understand these things. So what he wants to do is he wants to give us wisdom. And we'll get into that a little bit. Because sometimes I don't quite know how to define wisdom. You know, what is it? You know, and the wisdom comes from so many different directions, which we'll look at. But I just want to read Daniel verses 1 to 3, chapter 12. And I like this. And it says this, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects our people, will arise. And there'll be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. Obviously talking about the end times and the things to look forward to, really. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book of life, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those, notice this, who are wise will shine like the brightness of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Do you think God loves wisdom? He does. And he wants us to embrace it so that we can shine like stars of the heavens. And so this is the thing. It's a matter of what it takes to get that. So the Lord values wisdom, and it's what he desires to impart to us. It's something that he wants us to have. And he desires that we shine, like I said, like the bright stars of the heavens. So the major word for wisdom is chokmah. It's H-O-K-M-A for anybody who's taking notes. That's just the words used over 100 times in the book of Proverbs. And really what it is an attribute of God. See, the thing about the Lord is that what he wants to do is he wants to impart his character into our hearts and our lives. And so when we ask for wisdom and we get wisdom, really what we're doing is asking God to impart that part of his character into our lives and our hearts because he wants to give it to us. And so it says here in Job 12:13, to God belong wisdom and power, counsel, and understanding are his. So God is the one who is wise. And for this reason, one gets wisdom only as a gift from God. It says here in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so the question is, how do we get it? That's the question. Because I feel pretty stupid sometimes. I don't know about you. But it's something that at times I just want to beat my head against the wall because of the stupid things that I say and do. So how do you get wisdom? That's the question. I remember as a teenager, all I said to myself, this was before Christ, and I'm trying to figure out life. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out anything because all I saw was this disarray. It was back in the hippie movement kind of thing, you know, and it was just craziness out there. And I'm like, I don't understand any of this. I don't understand it. I don't quite know what to do to get understanding because it was confusing to me. And as a result, then, And it, obviously, there were a lot of other factors involved, but I didn't know where to go to get understanding. I couldn't find it. And I just, as a result, I just stumbled for years, making very stupid choices, making very stupid decisions, looking to the world for wisdom and only causing harm to myself. And that's all I knew until God finally grabbed a hold of me and started to teach me about life. And I was a tough student. I mean, because, you know, it's not like I really like to study or anything. And all of a sudden, God grabs a hold of me, and then I was into this schoolhouse of faith, so to speak. And what God was doing was starting to impart wisdom to me. And that's exactly what he wants to do for you. So how do you get it? Well, the first, I think, of most importance is that we ask for it. We petition the Lord for that. And if you're never asking for wisdom, then you're really not asking God to impart part of his character into your heart and your life. And when I think and I look about, especially the craziness of the world, we all know that. We understand it. It's getting pretty complicated. It always has been. But there are always, it's like Satan. Satan just got just like this bag full of tricks or whatever you want to call it. And he just reaches in and throws another one out, reaches in and throws another one out. He said, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Here's another thing that you're going to deal with now, culture, world, my system, because it is his system. And he reaches in the bag, he throws another thing out. He's dealing with all kinds of interesting things that God is allowing for a reason. Everything that, because Satan instills a knowledge and understanding in the hearts of sinful man. And it's really all to trip, in a lot of ways, the will of God up. He wants to keep the will of God from being fulfilled. I mean, that is his purpose, because he knows ultimately that he's going to lose. So he's going to work to keep believers bound by the oppression of the evil world system unless believers wise up and understand that we don't live by his rules. We don't have to live by his rules. That we can rise up in defiance on the foundation of Jesus Christ and live by Jesus' rules, as much as it depends on us. Because it's his kingdom we live for, not for the kingdom that we dwell in. And so this is what Satan desires to do, obviously, to keep us from the wisdom that God desires to give us. And if we never ask for it, we're never going to get it. And so the first way that we get wisdom is we petition the Lord for that. I'll just read here in point A. It says, a believer attains God's wisdom by boldly asking for it. His will is that we live life through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we got that from our study in Colossians, so that we may live a life worthy of the Lord. And that's what God's will is for us. And so we'll look at it a little bit. Obviously, James talks a lot about wisdom. And it says this in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Boy, that's pretty simple. He should ask God for it, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Do you believe that? I do, invariably. I ask God for wisdom, and then I trust him for it. And that's really what he says. It's something that must come about by trust. Now, really, the context of that is that about trials and tribulations and the things that the Lord brings into our lives to help us to mature in our relationship with Christ. And so that's in the context of that. And in the midst of those trials and those tribulations and the struggles that we have in life, the Lord says, now, you're in the midst of all that, and I'm changing you through all that, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to look to me and ask for wisdom to be able to get through what you're going through, because I'll give you everything you need. Are you willing to ask me for those things and not doubt? And he goes and he says in James 1:6, but when he asks, we must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed about by the wind. And so the Lord says, ask for it. So the first, I think, and primary way we do it is by asking the Lord for it. And we doubt in a lot of different ways, because we doubt because we want to kind of rely on our own reasoning, obviously, or we doubt by worrying. People love to worry. They just do. They get kind of caught in their own little bubble of worry. and fretting, and you know, and they just kind of stay there. And what they're really doing when they're all caught up in that, because and Jesus talks a lot about the worrying aspect of it. But when you're worrying, you're lacking wisdom, obviously. And people get comfortable with that. And it's almost like they get neurotic in the midst of all those things. And the Lord is saying, why aren't you asking me for wisdom? You know? And so we do that by worrying or by not being thoroughly convinced that God's going to take care of the situation. Yeah. Listen, I laugh at myself a lot because here I am, you know, a preacher man, right? Yeah. It's interesting because you look at yourself and you look at yourself, let's say, 25 years of age, and you look ahead, you know, and walk with the Lord, man, I'm going to be like at this place when I'm 40 or 50 or 60 or beyond or whatever, right? And then you realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm not here at all. What's going on? I just love how the Lord works, right? And I like that he tests us all the time. I mean, he tests me too. Are you going to trust me or not trust me? You know. So here's a situation I'm introducing into your life. And now it's a matter of I'm testing your faith. And I'm going to show you just how deep your faith is by how you respond to that situation. And then you realize, wait a minute, when you don't respond well to it, you realize, man, Jesus, you're all I have. Forgive me for my lack of faith. I just need your wisdom. And then the Lord answers prayer. Do you trust him for it? See, that's the thing with us, this trust element. Every one of us wrestling with different things. Things that I don't even begin to know or understand. It's so private with us in our lives and in our hearts, in the marriages and raising children and the jobs that we have. In dealing with health issues and on and on and on, these things that are because of this fallen world. And are we willing to trust God for wisdom? I say, why not? Where else do you want to turn? I'm not going to turn to man. I mean, the Lord gives godly counsel through those who know the Lord and love the Lord. I'm not minimizing that whatsoever. But we turn to him first. And we cry out, the Lord says, ask. I just want to read the top of the outline, that beginning paragraph. In the Bible, there's only one kind of wisdom, that which comes from God. There is not a secular wisdom that man follows in his everyday life and a religious wisdom that man follows in his relation to God. All wisdom that divorces itself from God is a false wisdom. It therefore cannot adequately guide man. And that's kind of a profound paragraph when you think about it. You know, we want to make those distinctions between the two, and the Lord says, no, child of mine. I want you to embrace my wisdom. That's what's most important. And don't make a distinction between the two. And so we must ask the Lord for that when it comes to those things. So what James does is he uses eight words to describe wisdom. And I'm just going to read point B, the only true source of godly discipline, understanding, insight, that is wisdom, is God's wisdom. It comes from heaven and cannot be attained from the world and its system. Can't be attained from that. It only comes from God. You know, these are good verses to memorize. You know, I find myself running verses like this because, I don't know about you, but it's, if I may, it's CRC. Can't remember crap, right? I could say that, right? It's as you get older, this syndrome just kind of comes upon you more and more. So what I'm doing is you memorize, right? And you say, well, you can't remember. Yeah, you can, because God gives you the ability to memorize. It's beautiful to run these verses through your mind, through your thinking, you know, because it helps us to become focused. And what is wisdom? And it's so good because God wants us to express wisdom to one another. And so here he gives us an understanding of that. And I'll just read James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and what? Sincere. So let's break it down a little bit as we look at that. And I just kind of listed that in the outline just just so that you could see what the words really mean. So first of all, God's wisdom is pure. And I'll just kind of read from the Strong's Concordance, you know, the definition of Vine's expository kind of explains it too. It's pure. What's pure mean? It means pure from carnality. That means from the things of the world, from the things of the flesh. You know, the desires that aren't really of God. It means to be chaste and modest or pure from every fault, immaculate. And Vine says clean. And it indicates the importance of holiness. That's what it indicates. God is holy, therefore the wisdom that comes from above is pure. You know. And so what the Lord desires to do is to put in us a heart that desires chaste living, purity. And so that's the thing, you know, we pray for wisdom, and then we have decisions to make, don't we? You know, the Lord says, okay, first of all, it's pure. What about your life is not pure? And are you willing to then abandon what is not of me and my wisdom in order to embrace what I desire to give you, which is purity? And for some, that is a huge struggle. And it's a matter of whether or not you want it, right? I mean, how much do we want the character of Christ? And it's a matter of whether or not we're willing to give up what the Lord wants us to give up concerning these matters. So you read that and you say, well, it's first of all pure. Well, what's that mean for me? And then you wrestle with what that might mean. And then you come to a point whether you're going to be obedient to what that means or not. Whether or not you're going to just understand purity and want to embrace it, and we're so imperfectly because of our sin nature and things like that. But yet God gives us the strength to say no to those things of the world and to say yes to righteousness. And so it's a question of whether or not we want those things when it comes to that. And so the idea behind chaste, obviously, is to be free from the defilement of the world. And so what God's wisdom does is it leaves the purity of life. James 2. James is such a good book. Verses 13 to 16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and I love this, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Interesting when you think about that. That's where you find disorder in every evil practice that comes from envy and selfish ambition. And those are the things that God doesn't want to be a part of his kids. He just doesn't want it. You know, the problem with us, and I know just like in the confusion sometimes because our minds get muddled in our thinking and in our reasoning, and sometimes we really need clarity of thought because we don't like what the heart desires and we don't like what's drawing us and we don't like these things. And that's the time when we run to our Savior and just hold on to him to give us clarity of thought concerning that. And we deal with these things, and the world wants to throw at us this desire for selfish ambition and envy. And the Lord says, no, that's of the devil, obviously. And that's not wisdom that comes from above. And so really the spiritual purity results in a right relationship with the Lord. And what he does is he gives us wisdom to be able to live well for him. The second one here is God's wisdom is peace-loving. Now, we've spent a number of weeks on what it means to be a peacemaker. Do you think we should get that? Yeah, because it just keeps on coming up time and time again. And so it's peace-loving. That means it pacifies. It's soothing. It's peaceful. It's beneficial. It's helpful. And so what it does is true wisdom produces right relationships. That's true wisdom. And so we ask ourselves then, am I living in the midst of right relationships in my life? I mean, what's my relationship like with my wife? What's my relationship like with my husband? What is my relationship like with my children? What is my relationship like with those in the church? And we look at that, and we examine that, and we ask God to help us to be objective in that, and then we determine from how our relationships are whether or not they're right. And if they're not, we're not living the wisdom of God. And so that's where we turn to him and ask him to help clarify our thinking on how to make those relationships right, because wisdom from above is peace-loving. And so that's one other thing. It's based on holiness. And so that's something else that the Lord wants. Like Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons of God. And then he says, wisdom from above is considerate. And that means that it's fair and it's mild and it's gentle, and it's the ability to extend to others that kindly consideration that we would wish to receive ourselves. It's considerate. And so, and then we'll just move on down. It's submissive, and that means it's ready to obey. It's compliant. And it means that it's not rigid, but it's willing to listen. It's willing to change. The Lord wants us to be compliant to the Spirit working in our hearts and our lives. Do you ever just sit there and listen to him and then say, okay, instead of fighting what he might be telling you, instead of wanting to just ignore what he might be saying, he's saying, no, I want you to be compliant to my Spirit because I have things to give you. And then submissive, like I said, and wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. This mercy is a transferable attribute. That's what they call. So the Lord wants mercy to be a part of our lives, and it brings forth good fruit. And then as we turn over to point 6 here, it says that God's wisdom is impartial and sincere. And we understand that it isn't fickle. It doesn't change its mind and concerning those things. And so that's James kind of defining that, just kind of moving on down. And this is the kind of wisdom that God desires to impart. So how do you get it? You ask for it. And another way you get it is Christianity 101. It's from the Word of God, right? Listen, if you're never in the Word, you're going to be pretty stupid. Pretty stupid when it comes to the things of God. If you're never in the Word. Just think about it. Because the Word's all about God's wisdom. So we get it by petitioning, and then the other sources His Word. Point 2, God purposes to impart His wisdom to all believers through the wisdom and counsel of His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16. It's the primary source for attaining the heartfelt wisdom needed to live well in the midst of a tumultuous and uncertain fallen world. So we've got to be in the Word. God wants us to love the Word. And so let's look here in verse 3 as we continue. For acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just and fair. And so we understand. So I'll tell you, I'm going to just be honest, there was a time when I wouldn't read Proverbs because I was really ticked off at Solomon. Now that was kind of stupid reasoning. But I'm not saying I have stupid reasoning from time to time, right? Seriously. I'm like, if this guy wrote all these things down and he did what he did, what good are they? And this was really early on in my walk with the Lord, right? And then I realized, well, wait a minute, this is God's Word, and just because Solomon didn't bring it to take it to heart doesn't mean that we can't take it to heart and make sure that it stays in our hearts and to make sure that we ourselves then as children of God finish well. And I started reading Proverbs again. I believe Billy Graham reads Proverbs every day, understanding the value of them. And so Proverbs, I have here just in point A, enables us to attain wisdom by giving us instruction on how to live a godly life. And what's interesting, and we'll get into it, really, it's like a father writing to a son. And he's imparting wisdom and knowledge and guidance for his son. And obviously that's what God does for us. So what it does is gives us insight and helps us to distinguish God's choices in every situation in life. And then just read verses 4 through 6. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So it was written for the simple. You know. Listen, it's only by the grace of God. I mean, we're all simple. We're a simple people. And the Lord knows that. You realize our intellect compared to the intellect of God, you know, we're pretty simple-minded. Our intellect compared to God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, who created you, who understands the intricacies of the physical body, the things that he has made, the birds are incredible. I mean, I look at nature, and God said, I bear witness of myself through what I've created. And you see this, what this blue indigo bunting flying by that has such vibrant blue that your mind just goes, wow, you know. And it, you can go just on and on. Just birds are incredible. The rose-breasted grosbeak, you know, and just I just love how its beak is, you know, and bluebirds and just on and on. And they all speak wonders of God. And, you know, and what he wants to do is to give us part of his mind. Really. The wisdom that created all that, and he wants to instill it in us so that we can gain understanding. Either that remains simple, and who wants to stay simple? I don't. I mean, I struggle with feeling like I'm simple enough as it is. But Lord, if you want to give it, please pour it on. Because I can use it, I can use as much as I can get. You know, a naive person is, it says in Scripture, is kind of like vulnerable to any influence that the winds may blow upon them. And I don't want to be naive. I want to be, in some ways, let me correct that, in some ways, I want to be naive to the ways of the world. Because I don't want to learn the ways of the world experientially and then regret the ways of the world. And see, that's another thing the Lord wants to spare us from. He doesn't want you to experiment with the ways of the world. Don't do it. And I tell this to young people all the time, don't open the door. Don't. Keep it shut. Because that door brings nothing but destruction and heartache. And it will just bring so much grief, so much regret. There's enough of that we wrestle with as it is. And the Lord wants to spare us from those things. And what the Lord wants to do is he wants to take this beautiful mind of his and put it into our hearts. And it's a matter of whether or not we want it. And oh, if you desire it, how it will change your life. It's a matter of whether or not you want that. It's a matter of whether or not you want to make a choice to continue on in the way we are or the way you might be, or to say, okay, Lord, that's enough. I draw the line here. I'm looking to you because there has to be change. And I want it to be your change. And I want it to be your life and your goodness. I want it to be your character. I want it to be fruit of the Spirit. And that's asking the Lord for wisdom so that what? So that he can open us up to the glory of what it means to be the children of God. Not naivety in a way that desires to continue on in the way we are, like Proverbs 14:18, the naive inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge. And so really the Proverbs are meant to give us wisdom and to help those who are naive. Like knowledge, you think about that, and he wants to give us knowledge and give us an understanding of what it means to live well and discretion. And it is the wisdom or ability to protect from the harm brought by foolishly proceeding with an ill-advised plan or whatever it might be. And that's what the Lord wants to give us all. And so obviously, if we're to gain his wisdom, we have to embrace it. And I'll just read here in verses 5 and 6, and I believe I was there. It says, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So he's saying, listen, add to your learning. Allow it to be guidance to you. And in verse 6, for understanding proverbs and parables, the saying of riddles of the wise. And so what the Lord does is he invites us to do that. And so we're to ask for it, and we're to search for wisdom, and we're to turn to the Word of God for it. But there's one very important element, and we're going to spend the next couple Sundays on this. The most important element, he kind of starts, says this in verse 7, is the bit, but really the beginning of it is the fear of God. What's it mean to fear him? And that's where Solomon goes with us. And it says, it's necessary to live life well, and that is the fear of the Lord. Now think about this, and I'll read point 3, and then we're just going to close, and then we're going to have communion. Reverence for God is the foundation from which all God's wisdom flows. Reverence for God. It is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. It is impossible to attain wisdom without a sincere and obedient reverence, awe, and respect. And that's defining the fear of God, by the way, of the one who gave us eternal life through his Son. So that's another question we'll ask ourselves as we proceed the next couple of weeks. Do we really know what it means to fear God? Is it something that we understand? And so we've got to get this kind of Western understanding of fear out of our mind and look at what God's intended meaning is when it comes to what it means to fear him. And the thing about this is, in fearing God, is that sin closes the door to God's wisdom. It just closes the door. If you are a believer and you're indulging in the ways of the world and refuse to leave whatever that might be, if you're believers living together and refusing to get married, God's not going to give you his wisdom. All he's going to let you do is he's going to basically let you just go through whatever you're going through to suffer the consequences of whatever you're suffering because of your refusal to be obedient to the word of God, and you will never in any way, even if you pray for it, get God's wisdom. It just isn't going to happen. Or if you're caught up in some other thing, be it sexual morality, be it watching porn, be it whatever it might be, you're never going to get God's wisdom. And that's because you don't fear God. And the Lord says that's the beginning of wisdom. And so these are things, if you're really wondering why your life's a train wreck, maybe it's because there's some things that need to be brought to the throne of Christ, laid at his feet, repented of, turning your back on it, and then looking and embracing Christ for who he is. Because if a person continues to live in sin and claim to be a believer, what they do is they mock the fear of God. And God doesn't want that because he wants to spare us the consequences of those things. I'll just read here. The fear of the Lord in verse 7 is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 9, and I'll just read it. Upon the outline, I have a couple things, 9, 10 to 12. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Wow. So once again, I've said this time and time again, I love God's word, because he doesn't tap dance around the issues. And I love it because what he does is he just kind of gives us super concentrated onto the issue. I'll read this paragraph, and I'm sorry I don't have the name of the person that wrote it there, but it says, we live in a tolerant age, and unfortunately our tolerance level has become very high. We become very tolerant of evil. What we're really lacking today is a real hatred of evil. Evil is always seeking to be tolerated. It is always looking for you to compromise and to accept it. The real beginning and the sum of knowledge is really a hatred of evil, because God hates evil. And so if you're lacking wisdom, ask for it. If you're lacking wisdom, turn to God's word. If you're lacking wisdom, examine your heart and ask yourself, do you really fear God? And are there things in my life or your life that really need to be brought before the throne so that God then can freely impart what he so, I believe, maybe it's an incorrect word to use, so desperately desires to instill in the hearts of his children, because he wants us to live well for him, but also to live a life that is well for ourselves. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. It's tremendous teaching, Father, of your word. I pray, Lord, as we open up Proverbs, that you would teach us, Lord, the wisdom that you gave your son Solomon. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to work on our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you are active, very active, Lord. in every aspect of our lives. I thank you, Lord, you challenge us. I thank you for your conviction, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you have brought us to gather together as the saints, Lord, to worship you and to study your word and to love on one another through the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for a taste of your kingdom while here. Lord, as we look forward to fully, Lord, drinking deeply of the things of your Spirit in the life to come. Meanwhile, I pray, Holy Spirit, for your anointing on everyone here. I pray that you would just move in our hearts in ways that take us deeper in our understanding of you. Lord, that you would just show us, Father. I pray, Father, for repaired relationships. I pray, Father, for wisdom above, Lord, that you would instill, Lord, just this goodness and this purity, Father, and this peace and all that's involved. And we look forward, Father, to just you maturing us and helping us through, Lord, and taking us into the realm, Father, of what it means to live well and to glorify you as children of God. Thank you for that. Lord, may you be glorified. May this week glorify you, Father. May we live well for you, Lord, and give us strong legs, Father, as we walk on your path of righteousness. And I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in our lives. Thank you for taking good care of us. You're our Father. The Father takes good care of his kids. And we love you for that, Lord. That's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.